Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Dennis. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. I just have one quick question. Did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Yeah, I hope so, because we have a message from him about the topic of prayer. But it's not so much about how often we pray or how long we spend in prayer, but about the kind of prayers that we pray. And we need it because our tendency, and I think it's a human tendency, is to focus on the external needs of our lives. Nothing wrong with it, but that tends to be our primary focus. If you think back to a meeting where you were at, where they took prayer requests, a class, a small group, whatever, probably the majority of them had to do with coming to grips with illnesses. It's something that's very, very real. But when we keep that focus as our primary focus, sometimes it's the only thing that we see. And because of it, our prayers can go across a wide range of external things. There's frivolous prayers like, Lord, if you can't make me thin, make all of my friends look fat. Those kind of prayers. Or more often, Lord, my mom's having surgery next week. Would you please be with the doctors and bring her healing? Now you say, what's wrong with that prayer? Nothing, especially if you're the mother. So we want our prayers to be about the things that are important to us. And so bring every request that you have for physical healing, from everything from hernias to heart attacks, cataracts to cancers. Bring it all to the Lord. But there's a whole nother category of prayer that I think we need to learn to pray for ourselves and for our loved ones around us. Now, what category is that? Well, let's find out together. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, open please. Philippians chapter 1. We're continuing this series called A Colony of Heaven in a Dissatisfied World, learning this morning about heart-level praying. Philippians chapter 1. Page number's up on the screen if you'd like to open the Bible in front of you or an app that you might have on a phone or a tablet. Philippians chapter 1. Here's the historic context. Last weekend, Pastor Tom Mercer shared with us about the background of this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. We call it to the Philippians. He told us about why Paul and this church had such a deep and passionate connection to each other. And Paul sums up his affection for the church at Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 8. See it with me. This will set our context and then launch us into our study. Paul writes in verse 8, "For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." So he says, I could even call God to the witness stand. And God himself would testify that the thing that I want, Paul says, more than anything else, is to be with you Philippians. Because you have a very, very special place in my heart. Well, it was that depth of love and connection that they shared that became the basis for this heart-level praying that Paul does for these people in verses 9 through 11. Well, from their example, we're going to get this key insight that will become a basis for our application in prayer. Here's the message from the Lord. That the spiritual transformation you and I, we experience in our lives will always, always flow from the inside out. It doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out as we understand and experience God's unconditional love for us in Christ. And that's the story. The Philippians had heard the gospel message. They believed it and responded to it, received the forgiveness and the love of the Lord, and it changed them. profoundly changed him. Started with a woman, very successful businesswoman by the name of Lydia. She was the first one. She opened up her home to a church. They started a church there. Other believers started coming. The Philippian jailer, his family that Paul had led to the Lord when he was incarcerated in Philippi. And then when Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and had been sent to Rome to face trial, he was imprisoned and under house arrest in Rome, the Philippians sent somebody to Rome to try and help Paul. They had supported him financially in Corinth and in Thessalonica. Now in his imprisonment, they wanted to make sure Paul was okay. And the question that's before us is, why were these folks so connected together? And the answer is, it's because they shared a common love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They understood and they experienced it, and so they were bonded here. And the same thing is true for us. You see, it's only when you understand and experience this love for yourself that your life will really begin to change. It's going to come from the inside out, see? But when you taste and see that the Lord is good, when you realize that every sin you've ever committed, past, present, and future, has already been forgiven you, it changes you, fundamentally changes you. When you hear the Almighty God, the righteous and holy judge say to you, I accept you and you and you and you and you and you and you, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. See? Man, nothing tastes like that. Can I get a witness here? Nothing tastes like that when you get forgiveness. Well, the Philippians had experienced it. And because of their common experience, they begin to show that love to other people. And the Apostle John wrote of it this way. We love because we're such nice folks. Right? Now, what's it say? We love because he first loved us. You see, it's all in response to the work he's already done inside of us. And so, beloved, listen to me. We don't grow primarily by emphasizing duty and responsibility. It doesn't come primarily from the shoulds, the outside in. You should do this. You should do that. You got to do this. You better do. You got. That's not where the real change comes. It's going to come from the inside out here. And thus, it becomes the core and most compelling motivation for spiritual transformation comes when we know and we feel his love for us. Let me give you the illustration. I was cleaning up the kitchen the other day. I needed a sponge. And I went down into our kind of our special kitchen cabinet that we have for sponges. Do y'all have that drawer in your kitchen? Well, I go in there and I pull out this package and it says sponges on it. And I pull out this thing. I mean, seriously, it looks like a graham cracker. And I thought, well, maybe it's like that knife that they use in fancy restaurants, you know, where they scrape the crumbs from your croissant off of the tablecloth. And then I began to realize, you know what this needs to do? Yeah. You got to throw it in water. And when you throw it in the water, I mean, go figure. How does that work? Can I tell you, it's the exact same thing in your spiritual life. The only way that you're going to grow to fulfill the purpose that God has for you is you have to soak in before you squeeze out. It's the only way that it works. You have to take in and you have to receive before you're going to give it away. You see? But what happens to us a lot of times in our Christian life is we neglect to take in. And as a result, we start, I affectionately call it stinking thinking. My thinking gets a little crazy in the head to think, oh, you know what? If I really want to get close to the Lord, I got to do better. And so I take that sponge and I start to squeeze it out. And I just start wringing it and wringing it. But pretty soon, no matter how hard I squeeze this thing, nothing's coming out. And then the stinking thinking gets worse. I must be a bad sponge. Because everybody else can do this. So I got to do more, and I got to do better, and I just have to try harder, and I squeeze, and I squeeze, and I squeeze. But when that happens, the spiritual life just gets drier and drier and drier. And we go to pray, and it just seems like God's not there. You know what I'm talking about? What's the use? Because no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I pray, God just seems like way out there. And while everybody else can seem to do it, I can't. So I guess that's just the way that God wants it to be. Dry. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not how God wants it to be. How do you get rid of dryness in your spiritual life? It's never going to be from the outside in. It's not going to be, do better. The way you get rid of dryness is by drinking deeper and taking in His love, taking in the unconditional nature of it. That's what changes us. That's what fills us up. That's what enables us to be the people that God wants us to be. See? And that was always Paul's prayer for the people that he ministered to. Here's Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's where our strength is coming from. It's having those roots deep inside. And may you have the power to, what's the word?
Understand.
As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. You got to understand this. You are more loved than you could ever imagine in spite of being as broken and as sinful. We're all in that boat together. But He still loves us. And I have to understand that. But not only may you understand it, may you experience that love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. And it's when we understand it and when we get it into our hearts on the inside that He really does love you and you and you and you and you. And you, and you. He really does love you. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See? We become mature from the inside out, from drinking deeper here. And so the point that I would make to you is simply this. We'll only get to heart-level prayers for others when we experience heart-level feelings and filling personally. Otherwise, when we hear a message on prayer, well, you know what we hear? You should pray more. Who shouldn't pray more, you know? You should pray for longer. All those outside things. And if our own hearts aren't filled, if we don't understand and experience that love, then all prayer is going to be as a duty. It's going to be a responsibility. You should do better. You should do more. And not, I need to talk to my loving Abba about this because I need his help. This adapted quote from Richard Foster summed it up for me. Heart-level prayers come not from gritting our teeth. It comes from falling in love. That when your heart falls in love with a father who would give his only begotten son, it changes everything. And you soak that in. Man, then you can start praying these heart-level prayers. You pray them for yourself. You pray them for your loved ones. And what Paul does is his heart is just filled with this love. The Philippians, their hearts are just filled with this love. And so Paul just starts praying these four heartfelt prayers. We'll go through them quickly. Here's what we can pray. He says, pray first for an increase in demonstrations of true love. And this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more. To abound means to overflow. Think of a glass underneath a faucet of running water just going to overflow. I had the great privilege of ministering to you for a few decades. And I look out and I see a lot of you that I know, a lot that I don't know. But those that I know your story. And so many of you are living out the love that God has for you in Christ. My prayer for you is just keep going. As Paul said to the Thessalonians, excel still more. Take that extra step and show love to that person. You may have shown it already. Just this next week, take that extra step. But the only way you'll do it is if you take in that love yourself. Otherwise, it's just going to be a should from the outside. But if you take it in, you can squeeze it out. See? But it's not just indiscriminate kind of expressions of love. And that's why Paul adds verse 9, that you may abound in real knowledge and all discernment. In our Bibles, love and truth are always connected together. Always connected together. You have to know and you have to discern. Before you act in demonstration of love, what that demonstration is going to do. I get asked a lot of you because we have a homeless issue in Escondido, North County. Well, every place there's homeless issues. And how do you help homeless people? And the one thing that I tell people, don't ever give money. A, because I don't want to contribute to an alcohol or drug addiction. Don't want to do that. I don't want to contribute to somebody's unhealthy attitude towards work. I certainly don't want to give to an organization that will propagate anti-biblical values. I want to know what we're doing here. But I tell you, if I ever see anybody who's homeless, the question that I ask them is, are you hungry? Because I'll go across the street, I'll go buy you a sandwich and get you something because Jesus said, you know, if they're hungry, feed them. So we want to do these expressions of love, but we want to have knowledge and discernment in it, see? And so this is why love and truth are always connected together, see? And the whole point is expressions of love are always wise and discerning. They're not blind. You know that old saying, love is blind? It's not foolish. And so love is always connected here. And this idea, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It's not loving to let someone believe a lie. See? And so this love and truth are always going to go hand in hand, especially as we speak to people. Love and truth always going to go hand in hand. So Paul's prayer, Lord, please help them overflow with this discerning love. But I would make the point again. It's only going to happen if you take it in. Take it in this morning. You have an Abba who loves you, and he gave his only son for you. And as you take that in, Lord, would you just help him squeeze it out? Heart level praying, secondly, for the wisdom to make the best choices. Verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. This is all about discernment. Lord, would you give to my loved one a discernment, the power, the ability to understand, and the wisdom to see not just right and wrong, but what is best, the difference between the excellent and the good. And so we need wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. And in our Bibles, wisdom is always presented as a triad, a triangle, if you will. Wisdom is built on the base of humility and teachability. So in order to be wise, a woman or man needs to be humble. I don't know everything. So would you please teach me? You know more than I do. You've been around the block more times than I have. Would you please show me and give me wisdom so that I can make good choices in my marriage, in my business, as an employer, as an employee, you name it, as a retired folk, as a single folk, as a married folk, whatever. Wisdom, humility, teachability. There's a foolishness triad. Foolishness is built on the base of pride and arrogance that shows itself in rebellion. You can't teach me anything. You don't know nothing. Why should I listen to you? So whatever you tell me, I'm going in the opposite direction. In the Bible, it's called being stiff-necked. You got nothing for me. Well, the heart level prayer, Lord, would you give to my loved one wisdom? Because if we make choices without wisdom, man, I tell you, the consequences are heartbreaking. They're devastating. Well, an illustration of this just a month ago or so. Are you familiar with the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise? Well, the producers thought, you know, let's do it with an older couple. And so they did the Golden Bachelor. Are you familiar with that? They got a guy in his 70s. He's a handsome guy, you know, he's financially successful, and he wears hearing aids. It's that kind of a guy. And they put him in a, you know, a place where he had 12 women in their 70s. You know, and they do all the things that they do. They're all dressed up, and they go on all these great adventures and everything, and the whole plan was for the guy to pick one and marry her. And that's what happened, apparently. I didn't watch a thing. I just read about it. And so they get married. Man, TV just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. They have the wedding on TV. It lasted 100 days, and he divorced her. Why? Because the whole decision was based on the wrong principles. See? So, you've got a grandson. You've got a son You have whatever. You know some singles. You know a widower. He's thinking of getting in that dating thing again. You pray for wisdom. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she's the one that you want. That's what you're looking for. Pick character above all else, first and foremost. And the same thing applies if you've got daughters or granddaughters or stepdaughters or a widow or single, whatever, who are starting to get back into that dating thing again. They need wisdom, big time. Because if a woman falls for the BMOC, the big man on campus, he may very well turn into the BSOS, the big slob on the sofa, in no time flat. Say. And so you've got to have the wisdom to look for character. See? But you'll never get it from the outside in. It'll only come in when your heart is hungry for wisdom. When you're humble, teachable, and you go to the Lord. Lord, show me how to be a better employer. Show me how to be a better husband. Show me how to be a better whatever. Because then and only then can you squeeze it out. See? Please, Lord, give an increase in love. Please, Lord, give us wisdom. Please, Lord, will you give perseverance? Perseverance in the pursuit of holiness in their daily lives. Verse 10, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Our English word sincere, some of you may know, it comes from a Latin phrase, sine sera, that literally translates as without wax. And in ancient times, unscrupulous potters would get defective pots and pans and glasses, etc., that they were fired, that had cracks in them. Well, they still wanted to sell them, so they would take wax and they would fill in those cracks and then glaze or paint over them and sell them as perfectly good products. Well, as soon as the purchaser went home and poured hot water into that thing, the wax would melt. And so potters with integrity started stamping their products with the words sine sera, without wax. And that's our prayer. Lord, in my heart, would you take all the wax out so that I could really live with integrity? No, I don't want to be a hypocrite on this stuff. And then it's only as we deal with that internal stuff that we can be, verse 10, blameless. That we won't trip or cause other people to trip. No. Again, I'm not saying that my prayer is that I'll be perfect, you'll be perfect, because we won't be. What we just want to do is be persistent in our pursuit. And so at the end of every day, when your head hits the pillow, you review, how'd I do today, Lord? And where you've had success, you say, praise the Lord, and go to sleep. But where you've sinned, where you made a mess of it, drink deeper. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I'm really sorry. That was a mess. I'm sorry, forgive me. Good night, Lord. Say, I want to pursue you tomorrow. Soak it in, and then you can pour it out. And you just keep going until the day of Christ, because someday we're all going to stand before him. And so the whole answer to persistence is not do better. Lord, help them do better. The answer is drink deeper. See, then and only then do we keep close watch on ourselves to where we become persistent. So, Lord, help me love. Lord, help me have wisdom. Lord, help me, help them, whoever, persevere. Help me bear fruit for your glory. Verse 11, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's going back and drinking deeper to know the moment that you said yes to Jesus, you became right in God's eyes. Would you please be assured, when God looks at you, he does not see you in your sin. He sees you in Christ's perfect righteousness. And when that gets into your mind and understanding, and it gets into your heart, it becomes the internal motivation then to say thank you to the Lord by the doing of good every single day of my life. Life becomes one giant thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Not to earn his forgiveness, not to earn right standing, but in response to the right standing that he has earned for me. And we get into those good works that God created us to do, and it brings, verse 11, glory and praise to God. So, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Drink deeper. That becomes the basis of heart-level praying. And it changes our focus. Not that that external needs, those external needs that we have, not that that's wrong. Nothing wrong with that. Pray for all that external. But there's a whole nother level for the internal that we need to pray. And boy, it sure changes us. Once we start to look within, and once we start to understand, and once we start to experience, we drink it deeper. It really changes our focus. And I have an illustration. I saw this quote of this that really kind of put it together for me. It was a quote by an old golfer. And typically you don't equate any kind of holiness with golf, but you know, here it is. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, the only place where God does not answer my prayers is on a golf course. That's the only place. But there was an old golfer by the name of Chichi Rodriguez, and he said this. He said, "I never pray to God to make a putt. I pray to God to help me react good if I miss a putt." Do you see the change? Lord, help me win. To, Lord, please help me be godly. That's the heart. See, that's where I really need the work. It's inside me to love, to have wisdom, to persevere, to bear fruit. Lord, please, just help me take it in and change me from the inside out. And the only way we're going to do this is if we stop long enough and we take a deep breath. He really does love me.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.